somebody?
And we'll be going on to item number 11, which is the Agriculture Regulatory Program. Mr. Briggs?
Thank you. As you'll recall from the start of the meeting, this was our sole consent item, which we have pulled off because we have several cards. I think we have seven cards so far. So we don't have a presentation plan, but I can just remind you that we had the so-called waiver of waste discharge requirements back in 2004 that the board adopted. And those, according to state legislation, expire and require action within at the end of 5 years, similar to NPDES permits. So that time would be now, and we started in on the process. We've been working on the process of various aspects of revisions to the order, and we've had some discussions at board level along those lines, I think two regular board meetings ago. So you've received kind of status as well as some public input along those lines, and I think you got a sense at that time that there were a lot of outstanding issues, and we came to the realization several months ago that it was going to take a significantly longer period of time. We've been working with the Ag Advisory Panel, sort of a reconstituted version of the Ag Advisory Panel that we had for the 2004 adoption, and it's not exactly the same, but the same idea, and they have been meeting, at least most recently, they've been meeting monthly, correct? And this is a cross-section of agricultural industry representatives and environmental interests that participate on the panel. And one of the things we did just recently was that it was actually our original plan to see how that went, and if we saw a need for outside assistance with facilitation, we figured that we would do that. And it became apparent that we should try that. So, Dr. Hunter, you mentioned Gita Kapahi earlier from the State Board, and the State Board and Gita have very kindly been providing her services with the Ag Advisory Panel, and like I say, they're continuing to meet monthly at this time. So we anticipate those meetings going through the rest of the calendar year. Is that about right?
Yes, through November or December.
November or December. And then we need to, and staff is working on internally on various aspects of the scope of the revisions to the order. We will then, once we have our staff work, we have advice from not only the Ag Advisory Panel, but anyone else who is interested in the process during these next few months. We will then integrate all that into a draft order, and with, as the board is familiar with, the lead time that we have for sending out an initial draft and then receiving comments, responding to those comments, putting an agenda item together, we get well into at least spring, if not later, of next year. So it seemed like the prudent thing to do would be to recommend a simple extension at this point. We received for up to a year. We're actually hoping it will be, originally we're hoping it would be a little less than a year. In the meantime now, we're down 15% in terms of, or 14% in terms of staff time available because of the three furlough days, which is significant. But we're still figuring, since we had some, we hope for some margin of error in that 1 year, that we'll still be able to accomplish it in that period of time. So we received some written comments. Central Coast Water Quality Preservation, Inc., for example, provided a letter which is in our supplemental sheet. And some of the comments that they provided were that they thought that action, the recommended action, was appropriate, but some of the findings of the old order are, of course, out of date. Things have changed. Well, we recognize that, but what we wanted to do was make this a simple extension without spending staff time on trying to refine and change things at this time, just a simple extension. We recognize that, of course, all those things will have to be, findings will have to be changed down the road with the when we bring it back to you next calendar year. So we've answered those questions. We had some other comments from Department of the Interior Fish and Wildlife Service with their specific interests, and those are things that we would be considering as part of the recommendations that we bring back to you next year as well. Do you have anything to add to Allison or John?
No, that okay. was good. Thank you.
So that's where we stand, and it's appropriate to go to the cards.
Okay.
And hear what folks have to say. And we'll go with 3 minutes each here, please, Chai.
Mr. Shimmick.
Tried to submit my card last so that I would go last.
You got top of the pile, Steve.
We shuffled.
My name is Steve Shimmick, Monterey Coast Keeper. Vice Chair and board members, it's a pleasure to be with you here this morning. Look, I think that the extension is necessary. I would recommend a shorter extension. I would keep the pressure on. So I would say an extension to March or May would be more appropriate than to July. But what I really don't like is this being any suggestion that the ag panel needs more time. I think that the ag panel has been given too much time and needs less time. We are not getting our work done on the ag panel. There are people that are saying, oh, what they really want is the old order to just continue on forever. And there's people that have been told over and over and over again, no, we're not doing that. But yet every single meeting that comes up again, we want the old order. So part of my problem with this extension is it essentially gives that block of people exactly what they want, the old order for more time. Some panel members, this is the ag panel members, continually challenge the authority of the board. And we have an entire, it was incredibly memorable. We had an entire session on the authority of the board. And at the end of the session, one person just stood up and said, well, what authority do you have? And this was after a full day talking about the authority of the board. So again, we're not getting anywhere. We need less time, not more. When people see that deadline looming, they're going to get to work, and they're not going to get to work until the deadline is upon them. So again, I would suggest a shorter extension, not a longer extension. And I hope that you will keep the pressure on. The old waiver focused on enrollment, education, voluntary implementation of BMPs, and group monitoring. There's really no need to improve water quality. There's some narrative statements that you should improve water quality, but there's no need. We need to move quickly to the time where requirements to improve water quality are in an order, and that order is enforced. An extension will not move the ball towards improved water quality, and that's my job, and that's your job. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shimmick. Any questions?
Not a question, but Mr. Shimmick reminds me of something that I probably should have said at the outset, and it might help in terms of saying this before subsequent speakers. And that is basically a reminder to the board that at our last meeting in June, I know you, I guess my time's up. I guess you weren't all there, but y'all received the staff report. And earlier when John Robertson was talking about the Olin site, he reminded you of the fact that we kind of used nitrate as a theme and talked about various things that we're doing region-wide to address the issue, and we kind of use that as an example because it is such a pervasive problem. And so one of the things, of course, that we talked about was our agricultural regulatory program, and Angela Schroeder gave a presentation on her unit and her actions in actually refocusing the efforts in enforcing and making progress under the existing agricultural order. And I think it was, and I think I heard some concurrence from board members who were there, that it was pretty impressive in terms of that refocusing effort and all the things that are going on currently as far as progress under the existing order. As Mr. Schimmick says, the existing order contains language that we've got to meet water quality objectives. And that really creates the bottom line as far as protecting water quality. So we've got tons of authority under that order, and we're acting on it. We've taken enforcement actions. We're taking more enforcement actions down the line, and continuing with a lot of efforts as far as inspections and implementing best management practices. So it's not appropriate to characterize it as some kind of a delay in progress in our regulatory framework for agriculture. I think we're making more progress than ever under the existing ag order, and so I don't see really any downside in terms of that progress by allowing more time to come up with refinements to the existing order.
Okay. Go on. The next card is Henry Geiklis, if I'm pronouncing your name correctly. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you, Vice Chairman Jeffries, members of the board. My name is Hank Geiklis. I am Vice President of Strategic Planning, Science, and Technology for Western Growers. We are a nonprofit trade association that represents growers, packers, shippers, handlers of fresh fruits, nuts, and vegetables throughout California and Arizona. Our members grow, pack, and ship almost half of the total United States output of fresh fruits, nuts, and vegetables. We have about 150 members in Region 3 who grow a wide range of crops, including annuals such as broccoli, strawberries, leafy greens, etc., and perennial crops such as grapes and tree fruit. I'm pleased to have the opportunity to appear here today and express Western Growers' interest in engaging more formally with the Central Coast Water Quality Control Board and its staff in the pursuit of what is our common goal of improving water quality in the region. We believe this is best achieved through coordinated efforts of the agricultural community, the board, and other interested parties, and we commend the board for their past approach and willingness to work with the agricultural community. While we're a newcomer to this issue in this region, Western Growers has, over the years, led and supported the specialty crop industry in dealing with a wide variety of conservation, environmental, water quality, food safety, and other issues, particularly at the state, national, but occasionally at the local level. We've heard from many of our members about their acute interest in the ongoing dialogue relating to the agricultural regulatory program in Region 3. Western Growers is committed to helping the regional board and its staff understand and assimilate the concerns of the agricultural community and the unique challenges they face. We are likewise committed to assisting the board and its staff to educate and engage growers in constructive development of conditional waiver that's workable for agriculture and results in real water quality improvements over time. Today, you're considering reissuing the existing waiver for a one-year period in an effort to give staff additional time to deal with the complexity of water quality, aquatic habitat, cultural, and economic issues. Western Growers supports the reissuance of the existing waiver. The existing waiver contemplated for today is clear in its intent, which is regulate discharges from irrigated lands to ensure that such discharges are not causing or contributing to exceedances of any regional, state, or federal numeric or narrative water quality standard, I quote. We support this intent and believe that the waiver, if consistently implemented and enforced, protects against those potential exceedances. The findings of the board relative to this waiver go on to say that it's in the public interest and provides an appropriate regulatory alternative to the adoption of waste discharge requirements. With a waiver that's acknowledged as being in the public interest, an appropriate alternative, and that regulates discharges to prevent exceedances, Western Growers has to ask, why not extend this order for the full 5 years? Can the issues that have been raised by staff, including toxicity from organophosphate and pyrethroid insecticides, nutrient and sediment movement, tailwater flows, management practice reporting, and additional education requirements not be adequately addressed within this waiver? We believe that this is the enforcement is potentially the most critical focal point for the foreseeable future, and we're committed to engaging constructively in this. I know my time has run out, so I appreciate that, and thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Is there any questions? Thank you very much. Next speaker would be Morgan Rafferty.
Good morning, Board. My name is Morgan Rafferty. I'm the director of the Environmental Center of San Luis Obispo County, and I'm a member of the Ag Advisory Panel. And first, I'd like to thank Allison Jones and Gita Kapahi for their hard work in helping us to move forward. And I would like to say that in the last few meetings, we have been able to really make some good progress, I think. And so I agree that this extension is important to let us keep moving and to do our work. And because the issues are so complex and there's so many potentially conflicting issues that we're talking about when we talk about water quality and food safety and economic viability for agricultural production in the region. There are some weaknesses in the order as it is written, but we are talking about those. But overall, there are a lot of good things in the order, as you have pointed out, and there are beginning to be some enforcement actions and some more inspections, and we're glad to see that happening. And I think it's important to recognize the good work that has been done under the existing order, that the cooperative monitoring program that has been set up and those things, and to recognize the work that the growers have done already. And I just think that because of the way the existing order was written and the cooperative way that was done, that there has been a very high rate of participation, and I'd like to see that continue. And so once again, I just want to thank you for agreeing to extend the order as it is for now and give us a little bit more time to work on this, because it is important to protect the water quality, and we want to make sure we do a good job, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Next speaker is Richard Quant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Richard Quant. I'm a president of the Grower Shipper Association. We represent most of the agricultural community in the Santa Maria area. I'm also a member of the Agricultural Advisory Panel. I was a member of that panel in 2004, and I'm currently a member of that panel in 2009. I felt compelled to come here today to comment on the request for the waiver to alert the board that there is a reason why the waiver has not been renewed in a timely manner, and why an extension is being sought. And I believe the reason is because your board staff is seeking to rewrite the entire scope of the waiver that currently is in place. They're proposing to add numeric objectives to the waiver that aren't in the current waiver. They're proposing to address groundwater, which is not addressed in the current waiver. They're proposing to add a biostimulatory index, which is not in the current waiver. They're proposing to protect aquatic habitat, which is not in the current waiver. And they're proposing to change wholesale changes to the monitoring program, from the current waiver. And now, for the first time, we learn the staff is proposing to include a marine protection area in the waiver. This is something that's part of the background information in your staff report. That's information that nobody was previously even aware that was being considered. So because new items are being added by staff, and it's an entire rewrite of the existing waiver, and the complexity has changed mightily, and I think it's thrown the agricultural waiver panel into turmoil. And it's been very difficult for that advisory panel to move the process forward when your staff is really trying to dictate the specific items of the waiver. And that is a problem that's I think hindering the work of the panel. And I wanted to alert the board about the reasons why the panel is having such a difficult time concluding its work. I would recommend, and on that basis, I would say, if you're going to consider an extension at the rate we're going, I would consider a multi-year extension, because I dare say we'll be back here again next year trying to grapple with these issues. I think the scope of this waiver, the components of this waiver, needs to be reduced. And I think you need to direct your staff to build upon the existing waiver, to engage in the agricultural community in a cooperative manner, so that the improvements that have been accomplished can be sustained over the long term. This is a long-term effort to deal with water quality in the rural areas and deal with agriculture irrigation practices. There are conflicts with food safety requirements that the farmers are having to meet to deal with pathogens. And I would urge the board to direct your staff to try to limit the scope of the waiver renewal and build upon the successes in the current waiver and not try to continue to rewrite and add more and more complexity to the waiver.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next speaker is Roberts from the Farm Bureau. Tracy? There we go.
Good morning, board members, chair of the board. It's really hard to figure out what at this stage you all need to know about the ag panel process. I have to say I agree heartily with Morgan Rafferty that we do need this time to get our work done. We have had some trouble putting wheels on the chassis. We've got a couple of wheels that just won't get on that chassis. I'm not talking about individuals. It's a group effort. It's a very challenging group effort. I'm continually amazed, though, that in sitting in the small brainstorm sessions that we've been asked to sit in, that we come up with some good ideas across environment and agricultural interests, so much so that it feels like the real challenge is not knowing what staff is doing kind of behind the scenes. I get this very strong sense that there's this, you know, internal process, as Roger mentioned, going on, and that we are not privy to the information that we really need to be able to move forward. It's an uncomfortable feeling. I sit in there, I come in as a problem solver, and somewhere halfway through the meeting, I wonder, where are my ideas going? They're going onto a piece of paper. They're called brainstorm. And I'm concerned that they may emerge in some other type of regulation, some other piece of regulation. I'm saddened to hear that some ag panel members don't feel like we're coming to the table with a good faith effort, because I felt the same way about others as well. And so we're trying to work through some of that. It does take some time. I think Gita and Allison realize the storming and norming process that has to go on. So I strongly support the one-year extension. But I also wanted to let you know that there are plenty of growers out there in the Central Coast that really are wondering, what's wrong with the current waiver? You know, we're required to do a farm plan. You can come and look at it on site. You can see everything about how we farm. You can inspect our farms. You can ask us what we apply, how we apply. We're just not willing to turn that information in for the general public. But you as a regional board have the authority to implement and enforce a waiver that's on the table now. The only other thing I think I'd like to say at this juncture is something Franz Spivey Weber was actually an advisor of mine as a water leader under the Water Education Foundation program that I went through a couple of years ago. And she said out in the hall to me, we were talking about the state issues and budget issues, and she said, if we don't know what we're dealing with, how can we plan? And wow, did that resonate with me for the ag panel process. I'd really just love it if you could direct staff to be a little more transparent about what they are working on, what information we can expect, and when. We know they're working on things. Allison's been very good of letting us know that these things are happening, but we're not really privy to that and able to include it in our discussions. I see that my time is up, and I appreciate that. I'm happy to take any questions, and I thank you for your time.
Dr. Hunter?
Thank you, Tracy, for your comments. Very informative. And I'm wondering, since Gita has joined, and I don't know how long she's been engaged, but if you feel that under her with her influence or under her direction, that transparency that you're seeking is starting to materialize? And is that, are there dimensions of her involvement that you can help to point out to staff that are going to be essential to support the kind of process that you're describing?
Thank you for asking that question. And unfortunately, I think that Gita feels just as hand-tied as some of the ag panel members do. I have had several conversations with her. It doesn't, I don't think that she is also able to conduct the neutral facilitation role that she's there to conduct. It often seems that she feels that it's an ag versus environment issue, and that's not all we're having. It's an information flow. It's a level of trust also with the staff and knowing what's going on. So I think that it would be great if she could take a little more control. I think she's put in a very difficult position. Thank you.
Any other questions from board members? Thank you very much.
I'd just point out that get out on a limb when we're talking about asking one person about another person who's not here and their perspective. I've had conversations with Gita myself, and I would definitely not characterize them that way. So, I appreciate that her observations are just as valid as anybody else, but, you know, we're talking about someone's opinion who isn't here. So.
Well, actually, no, I was asking Tracy for her opinion
right. Of
how the group's process has changed since Gita has become involved, because we're very fortunate that the State Water Board has created Gita's position and program, and we haven't had the benefit, actually, until now, of her program as engaging fully in a process this way. And so I'm anxious to hear, you know, how effective her program is. And I know her work in other parts of the state, she's been very instrumental in moving processes, difficult, very contentious processes along. So I know she has it in her, and I'm glad that you feel, and others that have commented on her work, that, you know, that's been a good addition. That's important. So that was my purpose.
Mr. Jeffries.
Cheryl Cross.
Well, maybe we could ask her to come and let us know what we can do to facilitate her job, her facilitation, yeah. I mean, I would like to ask her and say, you know, what can we do? And so maybe we can make that invitation.
Any other comments from board members at this time? Can we go on to the cards? Okay. The last card I have is Kurt Schmidt. Kurt? Okay, thank you. I see you. I did not. All right, thank you very much. Is there anyone else that would like to address this?
K. Mercer.
I already did K.
No.
Did I miss you, K? K. Mercer, I have your card. Sorry.
I'm Kay Mercer, and I'm the Executive Director of the Central Coast Agricultural Water Quality Coalition, and I want to thank you for letting me come before you. The coalition supports the reissuance of the waiver. I also want to commend Gita and Allison for all their hard work on the panel. Ag appreciates the faith that the staff and the board are demonstrating by facilitating the multi-stake ag advisory panel. We're aware that this is a privilege. It's not a right. This is something that the board does not have to do. It's not required by law or regulation or code. So we recognize that, and we've had a lot of starts and stops, and it has been difficult. I'm participating in the panel, and I have to echo a lot of what Tracy said. I'm concerned about the fact that staff is still gathering information on groundwater, aquatic and riparian habitat, and marine protection areas. And I bring those three up because that's what was called out in the background staff report. So they basically are saying they have an expectation that the panel will be able to deliver recommendations by December. quite honestly, until I received this background staff report, I wasn't even aware that marine protected areas were on the table as a point of discussion. The surprise of this announcement illustrates the point that the Ag Panel has been dealing with an ever-moving target. As an Ag Panel member, it sometimes feels as if, and this is the best analogy I can come up with, it's not meant to be inflammatory, but it feels like the Ag Waiver is a Christmas tree, and we're just trying to hang as much as we can on it just to push it through. And the most recent ornament is the marine protected areas. You know, we're not saying that these fragile ecosystems aren't important, because they are. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Because they're so important, we should be having thoughtful and thorough discussions, not frenetic fill-in-the-blank kind of activities where we're given a matrix and basically saying, you've got to fill this matrix in. And we don't have any of the background that's going on that staff says that they're collecting to make the recommendations. I was actually surprised and perplexed when I saw the staff report. I've had a chance to talk to Allison a little bit about it. Because the panel takes the responsibility seriously, we're making every effort to move this along. But it appears that as we go along, we're going to be in a position of either making thoughtful and thorough recommendations or kind of frenetic, slapdash, last-minute approaches. You know, it's from my perspective, the first Ag Waiver, we had an opportunity to kind of define our problem, you know, define the water quality problem, define Ag's probable participation in the problem. And to me, the next logical step is to qualify that problem. You know, what are the sources? What is the extent? Do we have, you know, does it happen at some times of the year more than others? And so I'll wrap up, but it just seems like we're skipping that step and moving to action without definition. So I do encourage the board to direct staff to come up with a fixed point so that we can work on this, and to direct staff to help us vet the information before we're asked to make decisions on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions of the speaker? Does anyone else in the audience wish to address this board on this item that didn't turn a card in? Okay, if not, then I'll close that portion. Mr. Briggs, I think that some of the questions I'm getting from the speakers, I thought somebody was raising their hand back there. Transparent on the issues and kind of indicate like there's a hidden agenda from the staff and they're not bringing all the issues up in the beginning, that they're able to address all of them at one time, and it looks like that there's some kind of a piecemeal approach to this process.
Well, as I said in my opening remarks, of course, staff is trying to do their staff work and incorporate the work with the Ag Advisory Panel. If we limited our staff work to the Ag Advisory Panel work, then we definitely need more time because there's a lot of background work required in addition to simply meeting with the Ag Advisory Panel. I mean, we'd need way more time than we're talking about here. So, of course, it's our obligation to do the staff work and provide the background information. As far as piecemeal, I'm not totally up to date on the activities of the Ag Panel, but my understanding from a while back is that was by design for the Ag Panel to take pieces at a time, and subject matter was laid out over time rather than just putting everything up on the wall and saying, you know, we've got all these issues to deal with, it makes more sense to go in a more stepwise fashion. And certainly Allison can correct me or add to it. But I think what you've heard is today in a few short speakers, it is a good representation of the fact that there are those who think that the Ag Order does need to be more specific, have more specific water quality objectives, and have a broader scope, and those who think we need more time to work through it, and it's going reasonably well, but we do need more time, and those who are concerned that we're expanding the scope of the existing ag order too much. So that it kind of shows the range that we're dealing with in terms of different perspectives and issues, and reflects some of the difficulty that we have in trying to resolve those. Allison, do you want to address the chair's question about transparency?
Yeah, Allison Jones.
East Meal, I guess.
I'm lead on the renewal process. Well, we I think everybody acknowledges that the panel process has had some glitches. It had some rocky meetings, and so we've kind of been redesigning as we go along. And I am committed to bringing information to the panel, and part of the difficulty is that as we are in the process right now, staff across programs is generating information, gathering a lot of data, want to get it to a form that we're ready to give it to the panel, and I certainly am planning on doing that, but it's not quite ready yet. Certainly in gathering groundwater data. The question on marine areas is the issue is looking at potential or possible impacts from agriculture to marine areas, and we don't have a lot of data, so it's going to take some time to gather that. But we will get that information to the panel as quickly as we can. And staff that are working on it are more than happy to come and talk to the panel, so we're going to work that in as well. So I will definitely work on the process and make sure that we get that information to the panel.
Any questions from the board to the staff? Dr. Hunter?
And actually, it's more of a comment, but and maybe just generally to especially the speakers that came to the podium. You know, just in a general sense, I think part of what's happening also is an effort by staff, which has been conducted over a number of years now. This is I'm just starting my second appointment, but the whole idea that we are creating programs and conducting enforcement within an integrated set of programs, that we are looking at watershed scale issues, is something that has been progressively emerging into our programs. And so, for example, I would use the stormwater program as another area where we are attempting to integrate components of work to protect water quality that relate to low-impact development and hydromodification, things that weren't initially as clear to us that would be effective tools as part of the program. And I think in the ag, in the context of agriculture, and in considering that the staff overall has reorganized its programs and we are looking at the healthy functioning watershed kind of underlying all of our actions, that the idea that the ag waiver program would expand as we learn more and we consider regionally specific issues, hotspots, et cetera, some of that data has been coming out of CCAMP for a very long time. So there shouldn't be surprises there because that CCAMP data has been used and applied and informed a lot of the board's actions. As far as the Marine Protected Area Program being listed, again, there's a lot of work to be done, but I do know that the CCAMP program has been looking at modeling of the information it has to consider what do we know about impacts to, and you know, as Chair Young would remind me, this is not just simply about marine protected areas, although that's one program that is that has identified and designated special areas, but we have ASBSs as well. But we are concerned with discharge through all coastal confluence streams. So, you know, adding specifically the term MPA there doesn't really change what we're after. We're looking at healthy functioning watersheds in the context of coastal watersheds. And the impacts to marine environment is something that the state is pursuing very actively. And so it is our charge. And at this point, you may have missed Franz Bybee Weber's comments this morning, but the legislature is looking at regional boards and their effectiveness, and they're looking at efficiencies. We are expected to better integrate our efforts and actions so that we are achieving the kinds of outcomes that are going to show improvements in water quality. And I understand that this is a very complicated set of issues, and so I appreciate and truly support the community's involvement in this and the importance of the ag community's efforts to work through and present their issues, inform the process, and we're hoping to hear from Gita what she anticipates will occur in this next year, and really encourage all of you to stay with it. But again, this broader context, I think, is something that hopefully is not going to continue to be hidden from you. It is an intentional. It's just there are a lot of changes that are going on, and so I'm hoping that context for that is going to be, as Allison noted, will be presented to you over time through various staff members who are conducting these other related components of the Water Board's functions.
Mr. Briggs?
That was a very good reminder in terms of the bigger picture. So thanks for stating that. The idea of saying that protecting the ocean is a new concept strikes me as being kind of odd, because the point is to protect receiving waters. And, for example, I don't think the existing order refers to lakes. Allison, does it?
Just lists all water bodies, and it does. It has lakes, et cetera. It does have marine as well.
Does have marine as well.
I think so.
So from that standpoint, that's okay. You don't have to look it up. But my point is, it would be inappropriate to say it only applies to rivers of a certain type. You know, our responsibility is for all receiving waters, and it doesn't make sense to try to limit that, I don't think. And I just had a brief question conversation last evening about the impact of runoff from the watersheds on marine critters. And, of course, all sources within the watershed would be a factor in that consideration. And you mentioned Chair Young. No, unfortunately, he's not able to be here today, but when we had a discussion on this topic, and I forget if that was March or whenever it was, in San Luis Obispo, and we heard some of the same comments about limiting the scope of the revision to the ag order, and Chair Young kind of summed up at the end by saying that it's appropriate for staff to bring all the options and analysis and recommendations to the board. And then the board, of course, takes into account not only those staff recommendations, but all the comments that you'll receive at that time, which could include limitations on scope and anything else. And it's up to the board then to make a determination on the scope of the order that it adopts. But we would be derelict in our duty if we do not bring the full range of options and analysis and appropriate recommendations to you, and the reasons for our recommendations, so that you know what the pros and cons are and how the folks who are commenting provide some context for that. So that's our job, and that's what we intend to do. So with that, I will recommend that the board approve the extension of the resolution for up to 1 year.
Comment?
Mr. O'Malley.
Thank you. Well, I think you brought up many of the points I'm concerned about. I do think it's important for staff to model transparency and inclusion, and I don't know that you're not, but I think that is very important, that you may be the leaders in the ag advisory panel on this. I think that's very important. As was said, all issues should be addressed. I think the outcome we need is that there's obviously improvement in water quality. And to accomplish that, there may be many components that need to be considered. And I've brought up the issue of concern about even the economics of it. Agriculture is very important in our state, and there's costs and there are benefits to consider. And I just point out that in some cases we see in other areas where, of course, there is some cost shifting because of operations. There can be costs that might apply to other areas in an economy. Also, there may be issues of when you have multiple regulations and enforcements across multiple jurisdictions, it can have some unintended consequences like the bankruptcy and actual areas not being able to continue to be economically viable, and then that is an ultimate shift of cost to the public to then deal with some problems left behind. So I would just think it's important to look at some of the economic issues that might be sensitive not only to agriculture and to environmental community, that we make sure we're considering all information. And with that, I could move to adopt staff's recommendation.
Okay.
I'll second.
Motion and second to adopt the order R3-2009-005, which is to extend this up to 1 year. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, motion is carried. Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody, for your comments.